Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson, and Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us in studio now. Steve, rocking the Paisley on this.
The red, white, and blue Paisley.
On this, what's today, Wednesday?
It'll be Wednesday, the 3rd of July.
What are you going to do tomorrow, Steve?
I'm working tomorrow.
Fred's got you working.
Yeah, Fred's cracking the whip.
Cracking the whip. Yeah, so you're working tomorrow. But you're going to do something to celebrate the 4th, right?
We'll probably have a barbecue or something like that. But yeah. I'm working tomorrow and I'm working Friday, and I'm kind of nervous because I'm having a feeling that we might be having some breaking news one of those 2 days.
Or you think Biden might step down Friday?
What we're hearing now, you guys have been covering from CNN reports. He's got three things coming. He's got two campaign appearances, and he's got an interview with
George Stephanopoulos.
And according to these reports, those have to go well, and those are going to happen by the weekend. So,
yeah. Hey, I got a wild and outlandish theory. But that's why we do this show, right? Okay, hear me out, okay? And I must say, about a year ago, Ed Vitagliano, our colleague, suggested that Michelle Obama might be the Democrats' nominee.
He did.
And I mocked him.
I was a witness.
Were you here when I mocked him?
I was a witness to his declaration and to your mocking, yes.
and I was a scoffer. And the reason I said that wouldn't happen is because she doesn't want to be president, number one, from all reports. And she loves being on the yacht with George Clooney in the Mediterranean and going to her vacation home in Hawaii. And she's got high approval numbers. I mean, she's living the good life. Mm-hmm. She has zero, except being the wife of the president, she has zero policy experience. When you don't enter the fray as much, your numbers can stay high.
Mm-hmm.
So Ed suggested maybe she would be the one that the Democrats would put in Biden's place.
Yeah.
Yesterday there was a poll out. I sent it to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
There was a poll out that showed who would do the best against Trump among the Democrats, other than Kamala Harris. Well, no, it included her. If Joe Biden stepped down, and they included Newsom from California.
Mm-hmm.
They included Gretchen Whitmer from the governor of Michigan. Let's see, who else? Kamala Harris, vice president, and Michelle Obama. Those four names. Mm-hmm. Those are the most bandied around.
Mm-hmm.
And she, Michelle Obama, was the one who did the best against Trump. I think outpolling him.
Yeah.
Barely,
mm-hmm.
but outpolling him.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats, in a perfect world, for them, they would recruit her, although I don't think she's going to take it. I still don't think so. They would recruit her to run against Trump.
Yeah.
Now, here's my wild and outlandish theory, okay? That Ed would mock if he were able to do that today, be with us. Okay, so the Democrats, Biden resigns, Kamala Harris says she's not running. I don't know what, because she wants to be the governor of California. I think she's mentioned she wants to be the governor of California. Or she could say for our party's sake. I don't know what you say.
Hmm.
Or they could have some Democrat donor write her $20 million check and buy her out. So you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Some way or another, they get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put Michelle Obama in as the candidate. Michelle Obama wins. And then when she wins, she's inaugurated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, she steps down.
Who's the vice president?
Is the president.
Who would that be?
Whoever she picks. Would become then the president of the United States. Now, do you see? You see, that's wild and outlandish. But hey, there's times we live in.
Different.
What? Why wouldn't you do something like that?
I think it's a, you know, I saw the polls too.
The polls where she does best against Trump.
She is popular. I could just see if that happened, the mainstream media would go totally ballistic.
Why?
They'd love her. No. They love Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
So you would have stories galore about what a great job she would do. I would see her out there with Oprah Winfrey and the whole thing. So she would be a successful candidate from the point of view that the left would love her. All right. But I'm not sure the country would, given the state of the country right now. She would go along with every left-wing agenda that Joe Biden has been promoting over the last 4 years, including what we just talked about off the top of this show. She would endorse the idea of transgenders competing against girls. She would be, if you thought Joe Biden was pro-abortion, she would be.
But remember, Fred, excuse me for interrupting, it's rare. But remember now, before Biden's failure on the economy, and it's my view, and on his cognitive decline, he was tied with Trump, if not beating him, in some surveys. So we're a 50-50 country, right, for the most part. So you're right. Michelle Obama would have the same beliefs and policies as Biden, but she wouldn't have the baggage.
But she'd be aware that she has them.
Huh? Anyway, that sounds crazy. It'd probably make a good novel or a good movie. I'm just saying she steps in to be the savior on election day, gets a VP, and then, I don't know, 2 or 3 months into the her presidency, she just steps down, says, I saved our country from Orange Man Bad.
Yeah.
And I'm turning country over to the most capable hands of, and whoever she is selected as her vice president.
I'm not denying that it could happen.
Yeah.
I just.
They don't have a strong bench, guys.
They do not.
They don't have a strong bench. The Republicans, in our view, of course, I'm conservative. We're conservative here. Republicans, you look at their bench. You got Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You got Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
There are other, Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Arkansas. Now, she's a first-term governor over there. But still, I'm talking about these are up-and-coming stars.
Yep.
In the Republican. There are others that I'm not thinking about right now.
Well, there's Senator Tim Scott.
Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my view, you look at J.D. Vance, the senator from
Ohio.
Wow, these are people in their 40s.
Yes.
Okay, they're up-and-coming stars. There's a strong bench out there.
Mm-hmm.
Across the country for Brian Kemp in Georgia, another governor who's has a bright future ahead in national politics, be it a senator or running for president. So there's a deep bench out there, and the Democrats don't have one.
Nope,
they don't have one.
Well, yeah, look, Newsom.
I forget. Yeah, Newsom, the governor of California. He's just done a terrible. They're awful.
Yeah.
They're in awful shape out there. I will say this, though. The governor there from Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, while she is very liberal, I think she has a future in the Democrat Party leadership, maybe even running for president, because she is younger. Mm-hmm. What is she, in her 40s, maybe 50 years old? And she's a two-time elected governor.
Yep.
And also would help the Democrats in the state of Michigan in a national presidential election. Listen, I call her Governor Lockdown, but still she won.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan is basically blue, maybe barely, but Michigan's basically blue, right?
Yep.
Again, not crazy blue, but they're basically blue. Thus, she won re-election. So we'll see what happens. But Michelle Obama and Gretchen Whitmer maybe as the ticket.
Yep.
That I'm trying to think how the Democrats might think on their best chance to beat Trump.
Hard to beat.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Hey, let's talk foreign policy for a second, because as we've seen, this is going to highlight the difference, should it be President Biden. We've seen how he handled Afghanistan. We've seen how he handled the Iran deal. He just seems to be gutless, I think, is what I've seen, feckless. I've heard him described. His foreign policy is basically giving in and hoping that things go well. Well, Representative Congressman Wesley Hunt from Texas and Byron Scott, South Carolina, were on the Sage Steele show, and they had a story about Joe Biden, about Donald Trump. See if you can picture Joe Biden or anybody in the Democrat foreign policy establishment doing this. Cut 12.
It's President Trump and Mike Pompeo, and they are talking to Taliban leadership in the room, and they had one translator in the room. President Trump looked at the Taliban leader and said this: I want to leave Afghanistan, but it's going to be a conditions-based withdrawal, meaning that you do what we tell you to do, and then we will start pulling troops back slowly as long as you abide by our rules. And translator translated. And he said, if you harm a hair on a single American, I'm going to kill you. And the translator goes, and Trump goes, tell him that. Tell him what I said. Reached in his pocket, pulled out a satellite photo of the leader of the Taliban's home and handed it to him.
Shut up.
Got up and walked out the room.
Whoa, that's savage.
I know. I just don't see Biden or anybody on his team. I mean, that's
no.
This is the reason. This is stories like that are what we hear, or why we hear that foreign leaders kind of feared Donald Trump. Wild cannon, maybe, or didn't know what was going to happen, but they didn't want to chance it with him.
Yeah,
now, we're hearing that everybody's, you know, ready to pull the trigger on Taiwan or on North Korea or Iran because they know that Joe Biden's not going to be like that.
Yeah. Well, and we're seeing evidence of that. It's reports in the last 24 hours, China has spy bases on Cuba. China.
It's 90 miles from
Russia,
Miami.
Russia has sent an oil tanker into Venezuela. Venezuelan elections are coming up in the next few weeks. So you've got all the bad guys, the Iranians, the Russians, the Chinese, and you throw the North Koreans in there. All these bad guys are getting together. They're provoking. They're poking the United States in the eye. And we have a president that is doing absolutely nothing about it. That has the American people worried, not to mention the economy and all those other things that we talk about.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. Hey, you can download our AFR app and listen to AFR anywhere you go, as long as you got high-speed internet, like cell phone service. So a lot of people are taking advantage of that. It's easy to do. Just go on your smartphone, download American Family Radio app. Takes you 2 minutes. And then you can listen to this show anywhere you go, anytime.
I use it.
Yeah, me too.
When I get out of range of a station, I use it.
Right. If you get out of range of one of our radio towers, then you can just download, just use the app.
Yeah.
Anywhere you go. Next story, Steve.
All right. Let's talk about the media. You know, the media likes to say that they're surprised that about Joe Biden's performance of the debate, the disaster, as it's being called, that they had no idea that Joe Biden could turn in such a poor performance. And conservatives are telling him, we've been telling you this. Obviously, you knew. And I thought it was telling because CNN, which actually hosted the debate, is kind of giving their background about why they kept the obvious mental decline of the president under wraps. And I want you to hear this. This is something they tweeted out. Under CNN Business, they said, a difficult task. Like all past presidents, Biden has good days and bad days. He's just like everybody else. It can be tricky to report on something as difficult to define as a person aging. When his opponent is a convicted felon who regularly lies and has threatened to use government to go after his political opponents. So what they are saying here is that we knew that he was incapable and mentally compromised, but we just hated Donald Trump so
much. Okay, can I tell you something? I would feel the same way they do if I were on the other side. Hmm. I don't fault that reasoning at all. Let me tell you why. If Donald Trump was president and he was showing signs of mental decline, and I had the choice between voting for him and voting for a flaming liberal, I'd vote for him all day, every day, because his beliefs would line up with mine. And I know whoever he had to succeed him, their beliefs would be more in line with mine. So I think this, the cognitive decline on full display for the world to see, really matters more to the independent voters out there, people who could go either way. They could vote Democrat, they could vote Republican. They don't really have a fixed ideology, but yet they see a guy show up like Biden did at the debate, and they're going, good night, I can't vote for him. I may not be a fan of Trump's, but at least he can handle the job. This guy can't. That's the people that they're appealing to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but we're talking about the press here. We're not talking about voters. Yes, I can see where voters might think that, or Democrat politicians. CNN lost credibility during the Trump administration.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying they're doing that. The media, who should be honest brokers of truth,
right?
And they information, can put their just telling it like it is. You're saying they're taking sides on trying to hide Biden's shape.
Yeah, I think, you know, I watched the debate last Thursday night. The two CNN anchors who were the moderators, so-called moderators.
Jake Tapper, Dana Bash.
Yes. They threw questions that they thought were favorable. They wanted to talk about abortion. All right. They wanted to talk about January 6th.
Right.
Those were all softballs to Biden.
Right.
And they assumed.
And he swung and missed.
We're just giving you, we're throwing it slow. Right. We're throwing it over the plate.
I know.
Just go ahead. They were shocked.
Right.
They were totally shocked that their boy, Joe Biden, behaved that way.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to help him to win that debate.
You know what helped Trump to win that debate? the fact that the microphone's turned off.
Yeah. Sure.
Huh? Everything that they put in place that they thought was going to help Biden helped Trump.
Because what hurt Trump in that debate 4 years ago was he kept talking over and interrupting Biden. Yep. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now Trump knew, okay, the microphone's going to be turned off. There's no point in me talking over him. So Trump, either on his own or he listened to his advisors who said, let him hang himself.
Yeah.
Don't talk over him. Don't interrupt. Your microphone's going to be cut off anyway. I personally like I didn't know that I would. I personally like the forum.
The kill the microphone?
I like no audience.
Yeah.
Cheering.
Uh-huh.
Either way. And I like the microphone being turned off after your time limit, as long as it's fair. As long as it's fair. There were a couple times the moderator said, hey, you got 30 seconds left.
Yes.
And remember, for both guys. And did you guys like it?
Oh, yeah.
The format?
You know, one of the
moments. Kind of stale. But
one of the moments that told me that Donald Trump was listening to the advisors was when Joe Biden started to talk about Medicare, Medicaid. Remember that? And I think Biden, you know, he made a mistake. He said, we beat Medicare. The face on Donald Trump at that moment was, well, he's right about one thing.
You beat it, all right? You beat it to death.
That's all he had to say. That's all he had to say. I agree with you, Joe. And it was a great moment in that debate.
Well, the kill shot was when he said, Trump said, I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said.
Yeah,
those last few sentences.
I know.
And
I don't think he knows what he said.
I don't think he knows what he said. And Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, nobody came to Trump to Biden's rescue.
No. Oh, what are they going to say?
Sort of move on.
Yeah.
Right? But that was one of the Biden did gibberish stuff over here.
But Trump took the advice of his advisors.
Yes, he did.
He just settled in. He allowed Biden to talk and talk.
Un-Trump-like.
Yes.
Under normal conditions.
But Trump was smart enough to know, I know what's going down here.
Right.
Joe has come unhinged, so I'm going to let the world see it.
Right. Right. Trump may have been shocked himself.
I think he was.
I mean, that was almost, we all saw it when Biden walked out on the stage. I know that was last week, but we're still talking about it here today.
Yeah.
When Biden walked out on the stage, Alice, my wife, looked at me. We're like all set ready to watch a debate. And she goes, are you seeing this? Like,
right.
Like, this is just the way he's walking out on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting is the way that the White House tried to spin this. I don't know if you guys talked about this.
They did try to spin it?
Oh, yes. They said that he was jet-lagged. And I want you to hear
this. He had a cold, too.
Well, that's what they also said. But this is CNN. talking about what the White House was saying, why Trump did so poorly, and then kind of expressing the fact they don't really buy it. Listen to Cut 9.
Apparently, the president apologized to everyone in the room, saying this is not an excuse, but it is an explanation. And he blamed the extensive foreign travel that he did in the lead up to the CNN debate for his poor performance. Just a reminder for everyone, he did go to France for the D-Day anniversary, and then he turned right back around and went to Italy for the G7 summit. And he told the room, I didn't listen to my staff. So the suggestion there being his staff did not think this was a good idea. And then he apparently said, I almost fell asleep on stage. I just want to unpack this new explanation for a second, as the explanation for why his debate performance was so bad, I find it a little bit puzzling, and frankly, I'm not sure that a lot of people are going to find this reassuring. If anything, some folks might hear this and be even more concerned. Yes, there were two foreign trips in the lead up to the June 27th CNN debate, but he returned from Italy on June 15th. The debate, again, was on June 27th. So we're talking about roughly 12 days in between when he was back in the States. And remember, a part of those 12 days, about a full week, he actually spent with his advisors at Camp David for the sole purpose of really focusing on debate prep. So why is the president falling asleep on the debate stage at the hours of 9 p.m. to 10:30?
And it's not like he was flying coach when he was doing all that international travel.
This is one of those things where you go, okay, you're not buying that one? Okay, how about this one? You're not buying that either? Okay, well, let's go with the went to Europe twice. Nope, not going to work. Nothing's working because it's all – that's not – those things aren't true.
Well, it's an admission. It's an admission to the concerns over his capacity to do the job of President of the United States. It's you're telling us, Mr. President, it's taking you 12 days to recover to a trip overseas.
Right.
And you're still falling asleep because getting over a trip that you
did. That's not something – that's not a good reason.
No.
That only confirms why you need to step down.
Exactly.
All right, we got a minute left, Steve.
I just am reading our favorite headlines from favorite. This is from the Babylon Bee. You know how Joe Biden, he seems to do better when he's in front of a teleprompter. You know, at least
I don't know about that anymore, but anyway.
Well, the Democrat leaders and his staff who think maybe he's had enough have decided to write on the teleprompter, this is what they put on the teleprompter: I hereby resign from the presidency, no takebacks.
Semicolon.
Semicolon. End of quote.
So what they're saying, that's Babylon Bay saying that those who
put that on the teleprompter, he'll read it.
He'll say it, I hereby resign, and then he'll realize what he said. Or maybe he won't.
Or maybe he won't.
Or maybe he won't.
That's funny. No takebacks.
No takebacks. Well, I was reading that in the White House, people don't know what to do who work for the president because he gets angry easy.
Yeah.
He shuffles around. He doesn't know where he is. He's not in full command of his faculties, and it's a bad, bad situation. And then you got Hunter Biden reportedly running around the White House going to meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not making this up. This is being widely reported.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, we will be closed tomorrow here. Our radio station will still be on the air, but we're not going to be here doing live radio. We're going to have radio specials all day long.
And news.
Patriotic.
And news.
And Steve's going to be here to make sure we get the news.
That's right.
But we're going to have patriotic, God and country, celebrate America radio specials all day on AFR. And then we'll be back on Friday with Trivia Live. Ed, JJ, and I will be here, or me, whatever the proper use of the pronoun is there. We hope you have a wonderful Independence Day celebration with your family, and we'll see you back here on Friday.